Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled A New Song. And we've been looking at Psalm 40, the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And as we began to look at what David was experiencing and recording for generations of believers from that time on, that there are times we end up, sometimes it's our own doing, and sometimes we're not even sure how we got there. Everything was going fine, and all of a sudden, bam, it's like the slats are knocked out from beneath us, and we end up in this horrible pit, and everything is going wrong. And not only that, your attitude is miserable, and you're upset, you're frustrated, you're angry. I don't know, that's certainly been my experience at times, but the Lord is helping me to trust that regardless of what happens, He is in control, even when it looks like He's not in control. For example, look at the nations of the world. He's still very much in control. There's nothing that takes Him by surprise, and He's on an agenda, He's on a schedule, and He's never late in our personal lives or in terms of fulfillment of prophetic timelines that the human race is on. We're drawing to the close of those times because we were, I believe, in the end of the end days. Nonetheless, we have a knowledge and a certainty and an assurance that our God is with us. And so the important thing is He's preparing us, you and I, beloved. He wants us to be all that we can be in Jesus. He wants us to experience joy to the fullest, peace beyond measure. He wants us to experience supernatural strength in terms of our spiritual endurance, to be able to persevere, to be able to have faith, to be able to believe God for the impossible, to do those greater works that Jesus said that we would do. And as we look at this, when David says, many shall fear and shall trust the Lord, there is something, even if it's not a literal song that's literally sung out loud, we can have a song and praise in our heart, as I shared yesterday, and that will translate to our expression, to our eyes, to our demeanor, to our behavior. And this is the thing that many will see and will fear and will trust the Lord, because you look around today, just go to a shopping mall, just walk down the street, people are not happy. They're not smiling. And if they are, generally, it's the result of God's work in their lives. And so, you know, it's strange that Christianity in some circles has been associated with gloom and sadness and austerity. But the real message of the gospel is that we are under the perfect law of liberty, that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. His grace is without measure. Now, let me clarify that that is not a license for sin or unrighteousness, because if we go that way again willfully, we crucify the Son of God afresh. And so we have to be very careful that we are serving a holy God, and we need to have the knowledge that He is not slack concerning His promises. As a man sows, he is going to reap. And so it's important that we will sin in this life. Not until we're with Jesus will we be totally free from the effects of sin and the curse. But until that time, we do have an advocate with the Father, that once we know we've blown it, we can come to Him, ask forgiveness, and we are restored. And He's working righteousness within the very fabric of our being. And as we look at the Bible, it's a book of songs, a book of singing. In 1 Kings 4:32, it says that Solomon composed 1,005 songs. And even in that most solemn of all books, the book of Revelation, there's great gladness and joy. For there's more singing than woes, as terrible as they are. 9 times woe is mentioned, but there are 10 songs sung by 8 different choirs. Let's take a quick look at them. We see in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 11, and the four beasts had each of them wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then in verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then in chapter 5, verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast been redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then in chapter 7, let me turn over to verse 9. And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, hallelujah, and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And in verse 12, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And then, of course, we know the Levites, regarding the temple worship, were set apart for nothing else save for the singing of the Lord's song. So singing is going to be a part of our future life, and you know what? It should be part of our lives. Of course, we all have an opportunity to do that when we go to our places of worship. There's corporate singing, which is wonderful. And God there, if we are really worshiping and singing the praises, he inhabits the praises of his people. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship. But also, I want to encourage you in a personal way to begin to praise the Lord more. Of course, there's times you will not be able to do it, but just quietly, in your heart, in your spirit, you're rejoicing, dancing before the Lord, even though you're appearing quite normal. Hallelujah. So let's now look at Psalm 40. The new song begins on the rock. In the Middle East, Palestine had many dried up water cisterns. Many of them were really horrible because of the filthy sediment that was left on the bottom. You recall Jeremiah for a time was lowered down into one of those nasty cisterns. And of course, we understand this is a picture of the sinner's condition. He's down in one of those horrible places, and there's no way that he can get out. There's no way you could have gotten out of that spiritual death and desolation by yourself. It took turning to Jesus and him rescuing you. And not only that, even as we are walking on with the Lord, believers can experience at times what seemed to be a horrible pit. And how can we get out? Well, obviously, David said he couldn't get out by his own effort, for the more you struggle in miry clay, it's like quicksand, the more you sink in the mire. Salvation has to come from outside himself. as well as for us. He took and drew me out of many waters. The trials, the troubles we go through. Oh, beloved, you remember those times? It wasn't even that you were praying so earnestly or heartily or fervently. It wasn't even that you were praising the Lord. In His mercy and loving kindness, He rescued you when you were in a funk, when you were down in that miry pit because you had sort of slipped down so far and you were just looking at what was surrounding you that you were not lifting up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your salvation. Not that the hills, of course, have any saving strength in them, but it's a metaphor, if you will, is looking up to God who dwells in the high and the holy place. And so he is lifted by the Lord out of this terrible condition. And he has set my feet upon a rock, which is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And he, because he's then secure, he's safe, he's been rescued, he's been delivered, he's able to praise the Lord. God puts a new song in his mouth. He transforms us. And in Isaiah 42:11, it says, "Let the inhabitants of the rock sing." Praise God. That's a capital R there. He is our rock. You know, it was spoken of the rocks that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, the rock that figuratively and, of course, literally was struck by Moses and water gushed out for those million or so people, and they were able to drink of the water that God provided. And so, you know, in troubled times, Eastern peoples left their homes in the plains and valleys, and they dwelt in the rocks. And once there, once they were assured of safety, they could sing. That's what Isaiah 42, "Let the inhabitants of the rock sing." And we are not only on the rock, but we are in the rock, beloved, dwelling in the rock of ages, just as Moses, who desired to see the glory of the Lord, was hid in the cleft of the rock, and the glory of God passed. Praise God. Well, my time is just flying by on these broadcasts, and there's so much more to share, and I pray that you'll be able to join us tomorrow at this same time. Failing that, you can always listen to our broadcasts on our website, unveilchrist.org. But as I generally always do, I like to give those who are listening an opportunity to write and share your prayer requests. You might find yourself in a horrible pit, and when I've been at that place at times, beloved, it's the power of agreeing prayer that will, it's more powerful. There's when two or three agree is touching anything. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.